Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 4-1-2024. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're so glad you're with us. And, of course, we always called this April Fool's Day when we were younger. And it's starting out the way on the radio tonight. We can't get through to our guest tonight and odd things happening, but oh, well, what are you going to do? It is what it is. We'll keep on trying. Hopefully get her on. We're going to have Dr. Susan Humphreys on from New Zealand to discuss lots of materials, especially about how the vaccines have never truly been vaccinated since the first ones invented. But we'll do what we can to get her on if we can at all. Before I do that, though, I want you to know that I did finish up our teaching on America and prophecy. Now, I have said this, I'll say it again and say it again. Until you understand who the nations are, prophesied in the Bible in end-time prophecies, you'll never understand what the future holds. It's a three-hour-long teaching. And if you order the teaching on DVD or CD, you will get the Christian Worldview News parts of it also thrown in. No extra charge for that, obviously. So you're welcome to them. I would recommend DVD if possible. CD if not. But in order to understand what's coming, it's vitally important to know the future of this country and other nations also. And it's in the book, folks. It's all through the book. A three-hour teaching, and if you get the teaching, I would highly recommend a book entitled The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. You order the teaching, and I will send you the outline I used for the teaching at no charge, in with the DVD, okay? Or along with the book, one or the other. But it's so vitally important that you understand what's happening in the world's headlines, and then you understand what's happening in America, what's happening in the UK, what's happening in the Middle East, and how it's fulfilling prophecy as we speak. I cannot emphasize to you enough how important this teaching is. I cannot. $15 for the teaching, $10, please, for the book, the Old Jerusalem, there's nothing New Jerusalem, and we will send you that outline for free. That's how important it is that you get it, okay? So before we, and one more thing, we have new catalogs are out. Please know that they're available. If you want a copy of the new Minuteman magazine catalog, just write us, call us, whatever, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 to get your teachings, to get the catalog to use, please, and see what we do offer through the ministry here. And some prayer requests tonight, very quickly, please, I don't want to miss. A very important prayer request. I have one asking for healing for a gentleman listening to the program. His Dave in Nebraska. cancer pain, okay? Cancer pain. Please keep up in prayer. Kevin, the head of Truth Be Told Radio Network, I mentioned last week that he had a growth in his mouth and gum that he wanted to check out. It's okay. It was not malignant. He's going to be fine. That's answered prayer. Prayer request tonight for Brian, who's a brother of a good friend of mine, and my good friend's dad, Dave. Brian had a heart attack. He's going to face open heart surgery right away. And his dad, Dave, 80-some years old, fell and broke his tailbone. So he's got two people in the hospital, and he's covered up. So Brian and Dave both are healing. And also found out my niece's boyfriend's daughter, you might saw this on the world news, in Oklahoma, her and her friend were in a car driving down the road in Oklahoma. Two cars boxed them in. After that, they know what happened. They know that if they found a hammer where they broke the windows out of their car's window, the car was full of blood in the car and outside the car. It's Veronica and Jillian was their names. Veronica and Jillian, they don't know where they are. They're trying to find them. So please keep that in prayer also, folks. And starting tonight, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow, we picked up a brand new network, BBS Radio. We'll tell you tomorrow night how you can tune into that. It's a worldwide network that's just full of stations all over the world. So we'll tell you about that more tomorrow night as we get into that, okay, because the owner will join us tomorrow night. Now, our guest did make it in, by golly, so we're going to go to her right away. She's written a couple books, and probably more than that. I just received both of them, one last week and one the other day, one entitled Rising from the Dead and one entitled Dissolving Illusions. I mean, they are huge, and they're power-packed with information. And I want to talk to Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. Are you there, Dr. Susan?
Yes, I am, Pastor Butch. Can you hear me?
I can. It's good to hear you all the way from New Zealand.
All right. Wow. Well, thank you for calling in.
thank you for being there. And by the way, what time is it over there?
Oh, it's about, must be about 2:30 now. Don't have a clock in front of me. Maybe 1:30. No, you said 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 8 o'clock here at East Coast. Okay. How about that? Well, yeah. Thank you for taking time to join us. And I wish I could have spoke to you on the phone before you did this. It's kind of hard to do that far away. But I'm impressed with your materials in the book, Dissolving Illusions and Rising from the Dead. I'm amazed at how you were persecuted for what you believed and what you stood for. But before we get into all that, tell the folks who Dr. Susan Humphreys is.
Okay, well, I'm just an American who grew up just in New Jersey, basically, in southern Jersey, in farmland, and went through regular schooling and then went to Rutgers University and started in nursing, and then I switched over to physics, and then I graduated and worked in a laboratory for a few years and then applied to medical school and went to Temple University School of Medicine, and then I went up to the Bronx, New York, in the South Bronx, where you really get some good action and interesting, things that you don't see in just your country hospitals, and I did a three-year medical residency there, and then I went back to Philadelphia and did two more years to specialize in kidneys. And then I worked as a professor of medicine for a few years, and then I went up to northern Maine, and that's where all the action happened in terms of vaccination and, you know, me becoming a pariah in terms of what the medical system values.
Wow. You must have started all this when you were 10 years old. I mean, my goodness, that's a lot of history. So when you started,
yeah, well, funny enough.
Go ahead. You go right ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, funny enough is that I did never thought I would become a doctor. I mean, I was shooting for becoming a nurse, and that seemed, you know, and it was a nursing is quite a difficult program to get through, the registered nursing program. Yeah, but I don't know. I just kind of wasn't satisfied in the nursing program, and that's why I switched out to physics. And then I honestly didn't have any clue what I was going to do with my physics degree. So I ended up going into medical school because after studying physics, it was so much easier than physics. So, you know, medical school was actually a breeze after doing all that. So, no, but I never had my sights set on anything, really. It just kind of just one year after the next, I just said, oh, I'll probably do this, and then I'll probably do that, and kind of stumbled into medicine, really, in a certain way.
Well, you stumbled into the right field, obviously, because you sure made a stir when you got there. You truly did.
Well, there is that. Yes.
You truly did. And we got a lot to talk about tonight, and we got an hour, and we'll take phone calls next half hour. But when you started into being a medical doctor, obviously you didn't know a lot of things you know now. How long did it take you to figure out that some of the things they were doing were not the right direction to go?
That happened pretty quickly, actually, because I saw some of the logic even in medical school that didn't make sense to me. Like, I was told that skin doesn't absorb any drugs or any nutrients or anything bad, and I thought, well, that's kind of ridiculous. I know that's not true. And as we just kept going through, I just kept seeing sickness being managed, and I thought I was going in to become a healer. I thought I was going to cure diseases, not just maintain diseases or create diseases even worse, which is another thing that I learned to do. So each year that went by, I just started to feeling a bit more reticent after I'd graduated from medical school. Each year of residency, I just felt less and less satisfied, and that's why I kept searching and going deeper into medicine, thinking, okay, I'm going to go treat people with kidney failure because they need drugs. They need a doctor. If you don't have kidney function, you really do need a doctor. And I actually quite enjoyed those years. And if I could still just work with kidney patients and not be, you know, fighting with the medical system all the time, I would do it because I actually found it very fulfilling and I did enjoy that. But I did it because I got tired of creating disease, which is what I was doing in internal medicine, by not really being allowed to treat and search for the underlying problems of diseases the way I wanted to. So that was kind of, it kind of evolved over a period of about 10 years where I just kept saying, you know, I'm basically a high-paid pharmaceutical technician. That's really what I amount to. I was never trained to bring cellular function back to normal. I was told which drugs to give in order to maintain the body while the cells aren't functioning normally. And that was really unsatisfying. So I just kept searching and searching. And then when this whole vaccine thing came down, all around me, it was an easy time for me to just get out and then figure out what I wanted to do next. And that's really what my book, Rising from the Dead, is pretty much about.
Well, how did you end up in New Zealand?
More just a matter of traveling and really enjoying the country. That it's a beautiful, easy place to be. It has a lot of beaches, and I really love the beach. So that there's nothing complicated about that. It was just pretty. Yeah, that's it. It was the weather, the beaches, and the ease of life in New Zealand.
Wow. Well, how about that? I just wondered. I thought maybe that was a better place for you to practice than it is back here. I didn't know how that worked out. So. You got your eyes open pretty quickly into the military, into the medical field, and you saw the, I guess, hypocrisy, I guess you could say, of what was happening. And I got to ask this, do most of the doctors that you encountered know they're not really helping people, or do they really believe they're doing the right thing?
I think you probably get a spectrum of different people. It's a very complicated situation because you realize that you basically have spent close to $1 million to get this education that is making you into a little demigod, and so many people are not willing to say what I was taught is wrong because I paid all this money and now I have all this power and I've got a wife or husband and kids that I need to now support. And if I go home and say, honey, guess what? My soul just can't do this anymore. I need to quit for a few years and we'll have zero income and I'm going to work this out and I'll come back to the top again, but I need to a few years where there's no income. Most people wouldn't do that, and their spouses wouldn't be okay with it. So I think people, you know, they get caught in what I call the golden handcuffs, where they're dependent upon that income and they're dependent upon their status. And so to see the reality and the depth of the reality of the lies that they've been indoctrinated into becomes nearly impossible.
Well, right now I'm talking about financially. Did it really cost you to have come to this realization and walk away from it?
Oh, yes. I mean, fortunately, I only left with $500,000 in loans, and that was back in 1993. So now, you know, young adults, when they graduate medical school, unless they've got wealthy families putting them through, they're graduating with a much higher debt than I did. For me, it didn't matter how much money I had. I had to get out of it. I had to get free and figure out what I wanted to do next. So I just, every time there was a big bonus at the end of the year, I just threw that at my loans, and I was fortunately able to pay everything off. So when I left, I just left. I had no income, but I had no debt. And that was a huge force in why I was able to do what I did. I was basically lived in a pop-up camper while I was writing Dissolving Illusions. I set up a tent outside as my office, and I slept in a pop-up camper in my friend's farmland in Virginia while I was figuring out, you know, what to do next and what really cell biology I could really work with in terms of helping people heal from diseases rather than managing them. And it's a tough thing to do. And I just want to also say that, you know, when I need a surgeon, I'm really happy to have a surgeon. And if I can't breathe or I've got a spurting artery, I need a medical doctor, just like we need attorneys sometimes. And so I don't want to put down all of medicine. But what I do want to put down is the pharmaceutical control over medicine, which you're aware that, you know, doctors weren't permitted to treat COVID with the drugs that work, with ivermectin and you know, yes, even hydroxychloroquine. So it's kind of like that. Like we know what can work. And I know if you have hypertension, you might be heavy metal toxic, but I wasn't allowed to check that. That wouldn't be paid for within the system. You can't check for that in the hospital. And so I would have to use private testing. It's very, very expensive testing and treatment. When I knew that that's a way to get somebody cured from hypertension, if they have toxic metals, can be very helpful. So there's lots of areas in conventional medicine where we could be doing a lot better, but we're not allowed to because the pharmaceutical overlords that teach us, that tell us what the curriculum in medical school is going to be, and that give big funding to hospitals and big funding to the AMA, have the final say over if something goes wrong, what the gold standard was that you did or did not follow.
Well, in percentage-wise, how much control would you say the drug companies have over doctors' freedom to practice?
It's kind of invisible control, but I would say close to 100%.
Oh,
absolutely.
My.
And some of those drugs, we know we do need some of those drugs. The question is always mandates or tyranny or absolutes and one-size-fits-all treatments for all diseases. That's what doesn't work. It's not that we don't need some of these drugs. I think the invention of antibiotics is a good thing. But as soon as the 1940s, 50s, when these antibiotics arrived, all the other treatments that were actually working and benefiting people and making them stronger and healthier went away. And here we are now living in the antibiotic culture of multi-drug-resistant organisms. So it's just a matter of how we use the tools that we have and not being allowed to use other tools. Like, for instance, I used to go to a chiropractor when I was working in my regular medical practice, and my colleagues thought I was going to a witch doctor. It was like voodoo to them. And I thought, you are the people that are out to lunch because I'm really strong and healthy and have a good healthy spine and spinal cord, and you people are walking around all on drugs and sick all the time. So who's crazy here? So it's kind of like what we're allowed to use and what is considered gold standard is that what I had the argument with.
And how were you treated by most of your colleagues when you started speaking up on these things?
It was a mixed picture. So I was, you know, pretty much working full-time in a conventional medical system in Northern Maine, which was a big teaching hospital in Bangor, Maine. And I would say there were a small percentage of doctors who understood what my gripe was when I didn't want my sick, inflamed patients vaccinated against my will with an order that had my name on it. Like, they understood that, but they would come up to me very quietly and say, I agree with you, I agree with you. But they wouldn't stand next to me and battle the system with me. And then there were others that were just willfully or blindly ignorant, who would just say, vaccine saved lives, and what about polio, and what about smallpox? And that's where dissolving illusions came in, because I just thought, well, I don't know. I know about H1N1, and I know what the medical literature says, and I know that my patient had normal kidney function until they got that vaccine, and I know that he's not the only one that happened to, and I've seen it over and over now that I'm asking a proper medical history and asking about a vaccine history. So that's what I do know. Let me go look at smallpox and polio, but what does that have to do with this? Just because one vaccine may have, in your mind anyway, been a savior to humanity doesn't mean that they all are and that they all will be.
Wow. So overall, most of them pretty much just abandoned you. Is that a good way to put it?
Oh, well, that would have been the best thing if they just abandoned me. But then there was, you know, I basically had the chief of medicine and his minions following me around and reading all my chart notes while I was treating patients, and then calling me up on, you know, if I canceled a vaccine order, and they told me that I had to stop canceling vaccination orders on my own patients that I was consulted on. And that's really when you know, when I said, okay, if I were to stop a statin because kidney failure, because you basically made their muscles release myoglobin and plug up their kidneys, which may or may not recover, you would have been fine if I stopped the statin. You're fine if I stop an antibiotic that we know is nephrotoxic, kidney toxic. Why are you having trouble with this, putting a substance into the body which by its very design causes inflammation into my patient that already has systemic inflammation manifested in the kidneys, a very delicate organ that you don't want to have inflamed because you cannot always bring them back when they get inflamed? Why are you having such trouble with this? And it's because the mythology around vaccination has been so protected for literally 226 years, since 1798, when the first vaccine was created, and doctors started seeing the ill effects of it, for starters, and then the fact that it didn't work as well, that the insulation started back then. So doctors were made into the enemy who, if they didn't want to vaccinate for smallpox back then, or if they said something untoward about the smallpox vaccine, they were alienated. And so a lot of doctors were very frightened to speak out, even back in the early 1800s when they were seeing the effects of the smallpox vaccine. And that's true of every vaccine that's ever been created, whether it's for scarlet fever, whether it was for the tetanus toxoid, yellow fever, you name it. There have been horrible vaccine accidents that have been documented, very well documented, written about. Our companion book that we're just putting out now, the Dissolving Illusions companion book, has over 200 very solid quotes, very well documented quotes from doctors over 200 years who were crying out in desperation for somebody to listen about all of the death and destruction that they witnessed at the hands of the vaccines that they thought were so good in the beginning and ended up not being so good. And it wasn't just the smallpox vaccine. It was also the polio vaccine. And the story behind polio is so crazy. You wouldn't believe. If you learn the truth about the polio vaccine, it literally will turn your whole world upside down, because we were all grew up thinking that these little children were walking around with one short leg or paralyzed, or with their braces. Yes. And then this vaccine came along, and then there was no more paralyzed children. That couldn't be farther from the truth. That is not what happened. And so that took me, I'd say, a good 2 years to complete the research to write the polio chapter.
Wow. You know, you made a comment about the smallpox vaccine. And that, of course, I wasn't born then, but I remember back when I was just learning about a few things, this vaccine saved lots of lives back in the 1800s. The smallpox vaccine that came out, and people were getting sick with it, and when this came out, it disappeared. Explain what you mean. It didn't work, but what happened to smallpox?
Okay, so you have to remember that when smallpox was first being diagnosed in the late 1700s, when Edward Jenner made his first vaccine, they didn't have microscopes. They didn't have, you know, the ability to look at DNA and RNA and viruses the way that we do today. So they would basically look at a person that had pox. So those monkeypox could have been anything that we talk about today, as in, if you look up monkeypox today, monkeypox is the new smallpox. They use the smallpox vaccine to supposedly prevent monkeypox. It's all pretty much a very, very similar entity. Chickenpox, in a very severe case, could have looked like smallpox back then. Monkeypox, cowpox, so the first vaccine, in terms of what we call a vaccine, was created using the ulcers on a cow's udder. And because there was a myth that the milkmaids never got smallpox once they had contracted cowpox or once they had developed immunity to cowpox. The problem is they never used any controlled studies whatsoever. This guy, Edward Jenner, just took the poor little victims. One of them was his own son, and there was another child that he started experimenting with and putting in this cowpox vaccine that he had created, and then he would inoculate them with actual smallpox virus to see if they would get sick. Well, a lot of people did get sick after they were inoculated with smallpox virus, even though they were cowpox, which is what we call the smallpox vaccine. It's actually cowpox, except that it's not. So what happened was, because it wasn't working, they started bringing in other animal pus. So they were bringing in mule pus, they were bringing in rabbit pus, and they were bringing in the pus off human corpses, mixing it all together, and then they were calling it pure lymph. And they would passage it through different farmers, they would passage it through different hospitals, different countries, all over the world. And so it was always anybody's guess what was in these pus concoctions that was called pure lymph. And it could have been, according to the analysis that occurred in the 1950s over the vaccine that had evolved over time, is that they called it a quasi-species, meaning they couldn't nail it down to one animal anymore because it had been so interwoven into the ulcers of different animals. I mean, it's something just straight out of hell, quite frankly. It is just one of the things that you just can't even fathom, taking corpse pus and mixing it with animal pus and then putting it into an infant's arm. And then saying, let's do arm-to-arm vaccination because we're a little bit low on pure lymph. And so they started cutting one person's arm and mixing it into another person's cut arm. And so they were transmitting syphilis and all kinds of other human diseases to each other. And it's all very graphically outlined in Dissolving Illusions with 100% citations. You know, there's over 800 references in these books. And one other thing people don't realize is that we think smallpox was killing people in droves, but if you look at the death rate of tuberculosis, it was 100 times deadlier than smallpox. And the death rate went down by over 99% before a tuberculosis vaccine or even streptomycin or the antibiotics that were used came in. Why? Because they realized that if you clean up the environment and you give people fresh air to breathe and you get vitamin D into them, that they get better. And that was the basis of the sanatoriums, I believe they called them, where people would go and get open air and get fed really well, and their tuberculosis would go away, and they didn't die. So there were lots of diseases that were much bigger killers, like scarlet fever was a much bigger killer than smallpox, and there was really never an effective vaccine for scarlet fever, yet the death rate went down. And so what we describe, we just take the world's vital statistics, and we show you that, yes, some of these diseases were big. These diseases were big killers of humanity. However, certain things happened in society that created the downtrend in death to the point of, if you want to look at measles or whooping cough, over 99% death rate decrease before the vaccine came in. There was not a need to bring the vaccine in at that point.
Hang on through the break, please, Bob. Hang on through the break. Folks, this is very, very interesting. We'll take phone calls, question next half hour as always. 844-769-2944. Don't y'all go away. Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All right, folks, we're back. And that song we've been playing on the radio now is a theme song for over 31 years. Is even true in an issue like this. And by the way, before I forget, most of y'all probably wonder what happened to Mick from New Mexico, that's been calling in for many, many, many years and supporting the ministry for a long time. Mick is pretty ill. He truly is. COPD and some other problems. And he's not calling in like he was. He doesn't feel well. So you prayer warriors also keep making your prayers, please, that by the grace of God he can be healed and maybe brought back to health where he could once again partake in what needs to be done. All right? And also keep our brother Daryl Eberhardt in Pennsylvania in prayers. Daryl's, as you know, he had a stroke. He's brought it up before and he's having a heck of a time just getting through the house and even trying to dial telephone. So keep Daryl in your prayers, please. Daryl, just like all of us folks, he's just a mere mortal. He has up and down times, but he's a trooper also. So keep him in your prayers, please. Now, again, we're talking to Dr. Susan Humphreys, and the number to call and talk to her if you want to is 844-769-2944 if you want to ask any questions, make any comments. Now, you mentioned Mr. Jenner, that supposedly invented the smallpox vaccine. did he realize what he was doing? Did he do it because he was an evil man, or was he sincere?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people ask me that, and I have a hard time answering it because I don't know his heart, and there's not really a lot written about him in a social way. But what I can say is that after that vaccine was circulating for about 5 or 6 years, that there were doctors reporting on the ill effects of it, and there were two of his most famous patients died of consumption, which was tuberculosis. And what if you look back in time, you see that the tuberculosis death rate and strike rate was much higher in people who had taken the smallpox vaccine. It probably lent some susceptibility to it. Why that is anyone's guess. But I would think that he was getting very wealthy and very renowned from his invention, and it would have been one of those situations where he would have had to have a lot of integrity and be able to admit that he was wrong and walk away from a big fortune if he was going to have that kind of integrity, and that's not what he did. Instead, he pushed on, and initially, just like every vaccine, we're told you'll only need one vaccine to be protected for life. That's what he said, and then it turned out that you needed a second one, and then a third one, and then continuous, and sometimes they would say a good take on a good vaccine, and we have a picture of this in Dissolving Illusions, four big ulcers on the arm. So four vaccines on an arm is really what you needed after all these promises. And then again, they tried to bring it back again in 2003, and thank God for the older doctors who were like in their 80s saying, wait a minute, we're not going down that route again. We know what this vaccine does. We know that smallpox is not as contagious as everybody is saying that it is. It's actually difficult to catch smallpox, and we're not going to deploy this vaccine and unleash this onto humanity, because the vaccine actually, the reason they wanted me to get vaccinated in 2003 was so that I could take care of other healthcare workers who were taking the vaccine and would develop smallpox from it. So, so you have to wonder if he was willing to, and that's the question you have of doctors today too. You know, are their fortunes and their status what keep them from seeing the truth? Because I find that it's really the innocent people that don't know one thing either direction that you tell them the truth and they go, oh, that makes perfect sense. It's people that don't have a stake in the issue that will wake up to it.
So what I read in your book, and I just had a chance to look through it very briefly, Dissolving Illusions, there have been no vaccines that really did what they're supposed to do.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But you have to ask other questions. The most important thing isn't whether a vaccine does what it's supposed to do. The most important question is, do we need it? And so let's look at the vaccine that probably has the best record in terms of stopping the disease it was designed for, and that's the measles vaccine. So if you
let me say this, doctor, please. Let me say this very quickly. When I grew up, measles was as common. Well, I had different types of measles 3-4 times growing up, and I got sick, but it wasn't anything deadly. And I do know from what I read later, this helped my body to develop immune system against other problems. So is measles something that people need to be concerned about, or is it hyped up like everything else is?
Right. So you just hit on the heart of the matter there, which is that measles is a virus that generally, before the vaccine was created, would infect children after they were weaned from breastfeeding, up to the point where they were maybe 9-10 years old at the latest. And that's how it would circulate. That's where the term herd immunity comes from. It comes from the circulation in a natural population. And if it ranges between 35% and 55% susceptibility in the children, you would have stability. Once the susceptibility rate went up to around 55%, you would have an outbreak. Doesn't mean every child would get measles, but you would have a circulation of measles. They would get it, and they would be over it, just like you were, because you were living with a family, you were well-nourished, you would have had access to cod liver oil and vitamin A, and your parents probably, you just from word of mouth, learned how to treat it, and you would have had lifelong immunity from that, and not only have lifelong immunity, but measles is such a valuable virus in terms of the immunity that it imparts that they actually use it in cancer therapy. It's called viral therapy, and because it actually stimulates the what's called the Th1, the cellular immune system, it's so that vaccine is a unique vaccine in that they used a live virus for that vaccine. And so they're basically infecting you with a benign form of the measles virus. The problem being is that what they've created now is, so I'm probably about 10 years younger than you, and I am now susceptible to measles because my vaccine has worn off. So if I were to catch measles, I would be really sick, whereas if I caught measles when I was 5 years old before I got vaccinated at the age of five, then I would never have to think about it again. And now newborn infants are susceptible because their mothers who were vaccinated have waning immunity. So those mothers are told that they need to get jabbed for measles before they get pregnant to get boosted. I'm told I need to get a booster. It's an unending income. If you create a vaccine, it's going to be a vaccine for life. You start out saying you need just one. In fact, when the measles vaccine came out in 1960s, that the ethos was that, and Alexander Langmuir, and the quote is in Dissolving Illusions, he said, first of all, he said the reason he created the vaccine wasn't because, and he quoted Sir Edmund Hillary, the New Zealander who climbed Mount Everest, who said, "I did it because it was there." Alexander Langmuir said, "Measles is a mild disease, circulates benignly in the childhood population. The reason I'm creating the vaccine is because the disease is there and the vaccine can be done. And because it was a nuisance to keep children home from school and then the parents having to stay home, although back then you usually had one parent at home anyway. So there was not a need for it. It was, now you can look at the third world, and this is what we have to keep in mind, is that yes, there was once a time, if you look in Dissolving Illusions, go to dissolvingillusions.com, look at the free graphs that you can look at and see the death rate for measles back when people were living in putridity, had no access to medical care, were breathing in soot and just all kinds of sewage, living, eating sausages that had rotten meat. They didn't have fresh vegetables. They weren't getting vitamin C. They were overworked. They were living in industrial revolution under the most horrible conditions. Yes, measles death rate was very high. But once society improved and we had clean water and sewage, et cetera, the death rate plummeted down to less than 0.6%. Wow. Now, so that's the important part of it. And so what we've done is we've created this very lucrative vaccine that does suppress measles in the population that handles it the best. So now those of us who don't handle it well are susceptible to it. And so there's going to be some naysayers out there going, oh, but, you know, you can go blind and you can go deaf and you can get encephalopathy from measles and you can end up with these terrible after effects of measles. That's true. If measles isn't treated appropriately, just like COVID, if COVID isn't treated appropriately, you can have a really bad case of it. And yes, once you're born, there is no guarantee here, okay? Once you're born, something can kill you. And it's always a gamble of which way do you want to go? Do you want to take the risk of taking a vaccine, which we know the ill effects of? Go look at the vaccine adverse event reporting system and see that. Go talk to parents of autistic children who will tell you when their autism hit after a measles vaccine. And you can have problems from the actual infection, but it's my experience and my understanding that the risk of having a problem after the infection at the appropriate age of infection is very, very minimal in the developed world where sane medicine is practiced. And so that's really the question is, getting back to your original question, is do we need it? Yes, the measles vaccine worked. It took measles out of the childhood population. Yay. No, not yay, because now we're having to deal with a different problem. If you look at the outbreak that happened in California, what was it, 2015 already, those were mostly in vaccinated children and vaccinated adults. And if you only had one shot or they couldn't find your vaccine record, they considered you unvaccinated, which is another trick that they pull when they want to blame everything on the non-vaccinated, is that if you've only had, you know, maybe one out of two shots, it's same with COVID, right? Or if they can't find your vaccine record, they just consider you unvaccinated, try to pump up the unvaccinated population that got it. But not only did they find vaccine strain in some of these children, they found that it was mostly in vaccinated people. So is the vaccine doing what it's supposed to do? No, I think it was an actual insult to humanity to bring in that vaccine. And then they added the mumps and the rubella into it later, which, who gets three infections at once? No, you don't. You don't get three infections at once, and you certainly don't get them directly into a muscle, into your blood system, which is a completely unnatural way to bring immunity into the body. We are supposed to inhale microbes, especially in terms of the measles vaccine. The measles microbe is inhaled through the respiratory system, where we have a highly sophisticated, eloquent system, gate-wise reception points of entry, where our immune system can respond appropriately, where we develop very solid internal and external immunity. Well, vaccine doesn't give you any immunity on the surface of your lungs or any of that. So same with whooping cough vaccine. And so you're not entering the body the right way. You're causing the immune system to react in a state of alarm against three pathogens at once. And today they've added the chickenpox into that. So now you've got four in that vaccine. And then at the same time, they might hit you up with a diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus shot, and maybe the meningococcal. And so you can take your kid in today, and they might only give your kid two or three sticks with a needle, but they would have gotten maybe 8 or 12 antigens, different products, in addition to all of the disgusting elements that go inside of a vaccine that most doctors aren't even aware of, let alone parents not being told about.
Wow. Well, let me ask you a question, then we'll take a phone call. Trying to eradicate the measles, and you said they basically kind of did that, did not make the children later in life more susceptible to other diseases because the body hadn't built up an immune system?
Well, you know, that's something we can only surmise about. I think that the invention of that vaccine set us back in a lot of ways. And what we talk about in Dissolving Illusions is that cancer rates are probably higher in people who are vaccinated than people who have natural immunity, because that's one infection that actually does have a generally good effect upon the body afterwards. Parents notice a growth spurt afterwards. They notice a boost in intelligence afterwards when they're infected. Measles is not eradicated. It's considered eliminated. So it will never be eradicated. And the reason being is that selective pressure has been put on the wild or natural measles circulating that still circulates on Earth. It still breaks through 100% vaccinated populations because there's mutations that occur in the actual virus that it no longer is killed as easily by the immune system that's been programmed by a vaccine, similar to the fact that when you take an antibiotic over and over again, you'll have breakthrough bacterial infections that don't respond to the antibiotic. Well, that happens with vaccines too. It just so happened it took a much longer time for it to happen with the measles virus, but it's happened very quickly with the COVID vaccines. It's happened pretty quickly with the whooping cough shots. It's happened incredibly quickly with flu shots, which is why we have to get them once or twice a year every year. Then they don't work. And well, that's been shown seven different ways to Sunday that the flu shots don't work to prevent flu.
Wow,
I don't know if I answered your question, but I think
you
did.
You did, and we got to get the phone call. But now I got to ask this: the way our Creator, God Almighty, Jehovah God, created us and put our bodies in here to be able to sustain themselves with proper nourishment and everything else, wouldn't it be better to let these mild diseases affect us to make us stronger physically and every other way?
Well, I would think that if God wanted us to be vaccinated, that Moses had everything he needed while he was going through the wilderness in order to create the same vaccine that Edward Jenner created. Believe me, the technology that Edward Jenner used was so medieval that I would say that the people that were going through the wilderness had better technology than Edward Jenner did.
And we know
that, you know, the Egyptians had very highly sophisticated medical advancements. And so I think that if Moses was, and he was listening to God, he was probably one of the most obedient men that ever lived on the planet, that he would have been told by God to, you know, get a lancet and, you know, scrape a cow's udder. but now, mind you, we know that they were protected from diseases and even blisters. But I'm just saying that God would have spoke to somebody far earlier than 1798, if God wanted us to have this. And gosh, I mean, look, imagine the risk that Jesus took, you know, walking around in his sandals in the desert and, oh, goodness. I mean,
it's just
crazy. It's just a big money-making entity
because
people didn't see. It is, but it's also the fact that people didn't understand that it was their lifestyles that were creating their own diseases.
Yes.
It wasn't their lack of vaccination.
Yes. Well, let's talk to Daryl in Pennsylvania. Daryl, come on in. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Pastor Butch, for having Suzanne Humphreys on, medical doctor. And I have her book, Dissolving Illusions, whenever all of the stuff about the jabs and the COVID started. I picked up about 40 or 50 books. I am not an expert on vaccines. However, I'm an expert on getting them because when I was in the U.S. Air Force, I was flying around every inch of the so-called Soviet Union, and I had 40 million jabs during that time because I had yellow fever, I had cholera, diphtheria, you name it. I had about 40, it seemed, different inoculations, excuse me for stuttering there. But her book, Dissolving Illusions, Disease Vaccines and the Forgotten History, is an excellent book, and it's a very short write-up that I did about it, and I'd just like to quickly read it, and it's by Suzanne Humphreys, medical doctor in Roman, and you help me with the pronunciation,
Bistrianic.
Okay. 504-page paperback book, 2013-2015. This book is full of many relevant to our current virus crisis quotations. The outstanding six-page foreword of this book was written by Dr. Jane L. M. Donegan, a medical doctor who was punished for her meticulous research about and her report concerning the efficacy of vaccinations for children. Others in the medical profession have been similarly punished for daring to expose the dangers of vaccinating children. Dr. Jane L. M. Donegan, in her foreword to the book, asked the following two questions. Why do doctors not even entertain the possibility that the universal childhood vaccination program may not be the unmitigated success that it is portrayed to be? And why do the doctors not even consider, many doctors not even consider, that there may be other ways of achieving health that are better and longer lasting? And then I put a little question in. Indeed, why don't they? Again, this book, after even only a cursory scan of it, looks like it surely is a must-read book. I would encourage people to get Dr. Humphrey's book, this one, Dissolving Illusions, and pick up some other books about the subject, because the vaccination of their grandchildren, Pastor Butch, and their great-grandchildren, it's going to affect a lot of people for a long, long time. And thank you, Dr. Humphreys, for writing the book, and thank you for Pastor Butch for having her on. Thank you both for your courage. And thank you, Pastor Butch, for asking prayers for this old man that's even older than you are.
And that's getting old, believe me.
Love you, Pastor Butch.
All right,
and
thanks a lot,
thank you both so much.
All right, you're welcome. Good comments. Any comments what he said, Susan?
Yeah. What I would say is I really like the part about he was talking about his military vaccines, because that's one of the biggest cover-ups, and it's still a big cover-up, actually, is that there have been so many people that have been mortally or morbidly injured by military vaccines. And a really good book that I cite often is by Sir Graham Wilson called The Hazards of Vaccination, where somebody from Burroughs Wellcome on his deathbed handed over to him a whole bunch of vaccine disasters over a short period of history. And Sir Graham Wilson was a very pro-vaccine doctor, and he basically gathered up all this information and talked about the issue with the military vaccines that were actually injuring and killing people. And that there was a big cover-up of it. Can you hold on 1 second?
I sure can.
Right there.
And folks, I remember,
I'm trying to practice medicine and go on the... Yeah, you got it.
You go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I'm good. I'm back now.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the cover-ups of the military accidents are huge. There have been horrible, contaminated vaccines, hepatitis B vaccines contaminated with AIDS. There have been, reuse of needles in the military vaccines, these guns that they use to basically line soldiers up and vaccinate them. Call Desert Storm, they call it a certain illness, but it was probably a vaccine illness from the soldiers that were before they were deployed. And so the military's long been a testing ground for how many vaccines a human body can take. And a lot of people actually have to drop out of the military. I've treated people, and I lived up in Maine, several soldiers who just, they basically couldn't function anymore after they got their jabs in the military.
Well, I remember I was in the Air Force also. They line you up and just like cattle going through and shoot a needle into you. Then I remember the guns also. They just zap, 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 zap. Yep. I didn't think anything about it. I was 19 years old. I was still ignorant, unlearned young man, I guess you could say. And I believe what I was told because, after all, it was doctors and our government saying so. They wouldn't hurt us. And, folks, we've got to get over this naivete and understand that we have been duped and deceived in so many different directions. Let's take another call. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Bruce. Bruce, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch and Susan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to ask two questions. How did you avoid persecution from taking a stand against the COVID shot? Because I'm told New Zealand and Australia forced it on everybody there. And what do you see as the next dangerous pandemic that might be coming along the way?
Okay, good question.
Yeah, well, I don't work in a medical system, so I didn't have to take a vaccine. If I worked in a hospital, I would have had to have taken a vaccine. And the same goes in America. I mean, I think they were forcing it on doctors there as well and all over the world. But I I've stepped away from that system, so I wasn't affected by it. As far as what's coming along next, we've been given several kind of heads ups from, the likes of Bill Gates, just wait for the next round, and Disease X, they call it. And they keep coming up with these tabletop exercises where the World Health Organization and, the powers that be basically do these emergency exercises if a pandemic were to occur. And now they can create vaccines within a matter of 2 to 4 weeks made on tobacco plants or E. coli and deploy them really quickly. So, we shouldn't worry because they're going to have these vaccines readily available to us. So I think it could be within a year that we're going to see some sort of a plandemic, a plandemic.
Right.
And it's really going to be how many people woke up during COVID and will it matter that they did? I don't know what they have up their sleeve, but I'm pretty sure they're not finished with us.
Oh, they're not. They're not. And Bruce, may I ask you one question?
Go ahead.
Were you ever on shortwave with your own program?
Yeah, why?
I have a listener out of Florida, recognized your voice, and wants to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Well, tell him to call me sometime.
Right. We don't have your number. Would you mind sending me your number? If you can do email, email me your phone number.
Okay, I'll do that.
Please email to me and put a note in who it's from. But this gentleman wants to talk to you, and I told him I would ask this time he came on. So please send it to me, and I'll try my best to connect you.
Just to get your email on your website, huh?
Yeah, just go to that one. You can, or just send it to PastorButch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Wow,
okay,
running out of time
mine.
So fast. Thank you. We're down about the last, we're about out of time, Dr. Susan. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, and thanks for taking your time out of your busy schedule for us, okay?
Oh, it was my pleasure. You're the first spiritual man that I've had an interview with, and I really appreciate it, so thank you.
Well, I'll be in touch. email me, please, PastorButch@startmail.com. Let's keep in touch.
Okay, will do.
God bless you. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow night, Lord willing. Tomorrow night may be a recorded broadcast. We're not sure yet. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Seeking souls of fallen men. Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.